ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's the 70th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast, so thanks so much for listening. This week I have a great interview with Jimmy Palmiotti, a popular and prolific comics writer of many good things, including Phantom Lady, Jenny Crab, All-Star Western, and the recently canceled G.I. Combat, which he'll talk a little bit about. He also shares how he met Justin Gray, his regular collaborator, and talks about the nature of the industry in general, as well as upcoming projects. So I'm sure you're going to want to listen. Then I review this week's comics, and everything wraps up with news and previews with Gianluca Glazer. As always, there's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome to the podcast Jimmy Palmiotti, well-known comics creator of many good things, including All-Star Western, Phantom Lady, The Ray. Goodness, I could spend the whole time just listing the books that you work on, Jimmy. So how are you doing today?
Good. Just sitting here doing what I do every morning is I read my emails and see who needs what and how to get it to them.
Well, that's great, because I guess we should talk about the bad news first. Word is coming around, I guess, that G.I. Combat is canceled. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's canceled at issue 7, I'm pretty sure. Well, we knew it was coming for a while, and honestly, we initially thought that Unknown Soldier was only going to run for 4 issues. Mm-hmm. That's why Dan Panosian was only on the 4 issues, and then they extended it. When we were into the run, when the first one came out, they extended it because people liked it, so we were able, lucky enough, to get Stas Johnson on the art. And we just figured we were always on borrowed time with the character, so it's why, you know, with the Zero book, we kind of got the backstory in, and, you know, the current story started, and we ended in a good place. We leave the character in a place that if DC wants to do some more, they can do some more, or if they want to put him somewhere else, you know, as we always do, we kind of leave the people that have been reading it will be satisfied, and then, you know, if there's a new audience, then they can go out and play with the character. Our main goal was to reestablish him in the DCU and reboot the character. So we hit our goal, but, you know, these things happen. I mean, it's a war book, and the only thing is harder to sell as a war book is a Western. So it seems like we get a lot of the challenging project at DC that pretty much I can guarantee most people don't care about.
Oh, wow. Well, you do good things with it, because, like, All-Star Western, for example, with Jonah Hex being in Gotham City, that's quite an interesting take on the character. And I really enjoy that book quite a lot. But I always like your writing. Your writing is very good. It's very character-oriented, and yet there are good and interesting things happening as well. So I like that. As far as All-Star Western, do you know how that book is doing?
It's actually doing, you know, almost 2.5 times better than it did when it was just called Jonah Hex. So we're in a good spot with All-Star. All-Star is not going anywhere.
Great.
We have a lot of interesting things coming up with the book that tie into Gotham, as well the backups more. And so we have a variety of things happening. We're rebooting and reintroducing a lot of the other Western characters in the DCU. So it's an interesting book for us, but it sells very well. And it has it's $3.99 because it's extra pages. So that actually helps a lot as far as the book staying around. So, yeah, that's not going anywhere soon. But, you know, things like a lot of the other stuff we do is, you know, like I said, it's characters that they may not be that popular, and we're trying to find an audience. But when you work on some books, you know they're not going to be, you know, it's not Batman. You know, you're sitting there and you go, well, this isn't Batman, it's not Flash, not Green Lantern. So right away, we're going to have limited attention, and the company's not going to really spend much time promoting them because they have to promote their bigger books, you know, and the bigger crossovers. So we're behind the eight ball on that stuff. So it also gives us a lot of freedom to experiment a little more and try to really get into the characters' heads. And that's something we always do with the books. We try to say, well, it's all about the character. You know, the stories are there, and we try to make it fun, but we know we have a short time to get people into what's going on and then to know the characters so they care about them. And that's basically what we always try to do.
Well, isn't in some ways a little freer to be able to deal with somebody that's not Batman, who's tied in with a mountain of continuity and has to have other people involved? I mean, you're writing characters largely that are you're free to do with whatever you want pretty much with.
Yeah, there's a freedom to it, and then there's a limitation, because no matter what, we can't do whatever we want with them, because we work for Warner Brothers, work for DC Comics, and they're editorially driven, you know, meaning it's their characters, so they tell us what they want. We pitch some crazy ideas, and then they say yes and no, and take that page out, and that doesn't work, and, you know, so we can pitch wild ideas, but the only place I actually do what I want is when I have an image book or create our own book. But we also understand that, you know, the company has the certain needs they have for the characters. So going in, we understand that, and we pitch some crazy ideas. They pick the ones they like, and then we spend the books trying to get our stuff in there and sneak it in for the rest of the couple of issues.
Now, right now, you're in the middle of a Phantom Lady, which I'm enjoying as well. You're trying to update her as far as the New 52?
Yeah, we were given the Ray, Phantom Lady, and Doll Man, and now you know the Human Bomb. And they said, we want to do, you know, 4-issue minis. We want you to reintroduce them. We need this out of the series. We need this. These are the people you're going to work with on them. You know, we were given everything. Like, honestly, we're told, you know, who to use and who to work with and who's going to do it. And, we're happy with that because they're good choices. And then here's what we need from the series. Here's what we want you to do. And go and have some fun. And we did. The Ray is an example of DC saying, go crazy. And we did. We looked at the DCU and said, well, there's no Korean-American character. And there's, you know, Afro-American best friend and an Indian girlfriend. You know, we kind of did a little ethnic mixing up because I'm a New Yorker and New York is a very diverse place. So we wanted to array a very diverse cast of characters. And we loved that book. Having Jamal do it was pretty awesome. It's a guy that understood the fun of the character, you know, the joy of being the Ray. And we wanted to celebrate the joy of the character in that 4-issue miniseries, like what it would be like to have powers and then deal with parents and girlfriends and best friends and stuff like that. The stuff that interests me. Love the soap opera madness. And then with Phantom Lady, we took it more in a grounded place. So these are just regular people who happen to have these powers and what they have to deal with when they have them. That doesn't solve everything. And we really took that angle. You'll see it in issue 2, which is out this week, where we looked at it and said, all right, it's not so easy. Just because you can do this and that doesn't mean you can go out and fight crime and doesn't mean you can save the day so much. And we kind of looked at it that way because, you know, it's the thing that a lot of people avoid. And then with Human Bomb, we are taking it in a different direction totally. And it's very serious and it has to do with vets coming home. And then like by the third issue, we completely flip everything on its head. And in that one, we have also Jerry Ordway drawing. The stuff is just beautiful. So they're interesting books. And in some level, they all connect. Say more than that, but they connect. So, have you read The Ray? Did you read The Ray?
Yes, I love The Ray. I was hoping we'd see more of him. I haven't heard any more about that, but I was hoping to see that.
Hoping DC's going to say, hey, let's put The Ray in this, or let's put the, I mean, so we have hopes, but honestly, you know, our job is to go and have some fun. And again, you know, we're asking people to invest a little under $12 in our story. So we hopefully gave them a good ride, a good story and a good book to read in the 4 issues. I mean, we definitely stay up at night worrying that bigger, or should we have done it differently? You know, maybe we should have gone this way or that way. And, you know, and again, as a writer, you kind of constantly do that because you're writing to yourself on one level, and at the other level is you need the audience and you need the retailers to embrace what you're doing. And then you realize, you know, last week I think there was 220 comics came out. So you look at that and you go, oh man, you know, how we're going to get lost in the shuffle. It's a constant thing. So you always have to be on your game, do your best work every week. You got to do your best work because you don't know when you're going to get the call not to do it. So,
Well, based on the characters, it almost feels to me like you're going to have an Uncle Sam miniseries coming before long.
Well, we have that in there. That's up to DC. But we leave the door open that Sam is running around collecting these guys. And so we'll see what happens. If it is, it's going to be a completely different book than the old one.
You know, the Freedom Fighters was a favorite team of mine. I always liked the characters because they were very different from regular superheroes. And I think that's what you're doing is you're setting up different heroes and different things because it's not going to be Justice League. We've already got, three of those, so we don't need really any more of that. We need something a little different. And your guys are good at putting up something that's a little different. So I'm hoping that's the case with these guys. They'll eventually come together and maybe be the Freedom Fighters.
Well, we hope so. In the back of our heads, that's always there. And again, you're right. The team books... Honestly, most of the team books, they're difficult to write because you have to spotlight each character. And they're always about fighting another team of bad guys. And I think the problem with being my age, too, is I'm a little older and I've read it all before. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly trying to change things up. That's, I think, an advantage, too, because you look at what's being done and say, all right, now I need to do something different. You know, and again, different's always been appealing to me, whether it's music or art or movies or entertainment. I like the stuff that's a little off base, not so on the nose, like a JLA or a more mainstream title.
Well, like you, I've read comics for a long, long time, and so variety to me is something very special. If I can find something a little different, boy, I really like that.
Yeah, it's not as easy as you think it is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff out there that's different visually, but when you get to read it, you feel like, well, I've read this before. You know, I have that problem. I buy a lot of stuff because it looks cool, and then I get into reading it, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's this kind of story. Mm-hmm. I also like my material a little more adult than most people, so I don't mind characters going in a more adult way as far as situations and... sorry for the crunkling paper here. I'm just...
Okay.
So I kind of like that in the book. So I try to find that angle as well. You know, if I know I'm writing to people that are in their 20s and 30s, I feel like I should be writing to them, not just giving them another Spider-Man story, let's say, you know. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got Human Bomb coming up. Any other projects for DC that you can talk about or are things in the works?
But, you know, obviously we have the ongoing with All-Star, and we also do the Anakame team book that's out every week. There's 10 pages of it every week, and it's on Comixology and DC Comics. And that features every single female character in the DCU, including some new ones, in a weekly, massive, giant story that is just cool to look at, and it's something different. It's definitely, you know, if you're fans of that anime style somewhat, even though it's more American comic than Japanese, and you like a weekly digital fix, it's there. They're actually starting to reprint them in paper form mm-hmm. this month. I think they're putting a Wonder Woman in one book that Amanda did with us. And yeah, that's it for DC. I mean, that's the main... Really, you can't take on much more until we finish up some of the other stuff. But that's the main stuff we're doing now. And let's see, on Hex, we're probably like around 19, you know, 17, 18, 19 is what we're working on mm-hmm. now. So we're way ahead on that stuff. Yeah.
Good. Now, you work with Justin Gray quite a lot. Not always, but most of the time. You know, I'd never heard the story how you guys actually got to be friends and started to work together. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Justin was actually hired when Joe Quesada and I had Marvel Knights. He was hired as an intern. Mm. And he worked up there for us for a while until he took another job. He's a chef, too, you know, although he doesn't do that much except for his wife and child these days, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy that would hit us with an idea every day. Every day he had this idea. I got this great idea. And we've been friends, obviously, over the years. And when I left Marvel Knights, I had an opportunity to pitch some books to Wildstorm. And I decided to work with Justin because we got along great. You know, you have your jobs in your life. And if you can work with your friends, it's even better. And we pitched this book, 21 Down, Twilight Experiment, and The Resistance. We pitched three books that they picked up. Mm-hmm. And we started working from there, and it worked out pretty good. We call each other like 40 times a day. It's like a real relationship. And we critique each other all the time, and we also bounce a ton of ideas off each other. You know, our phone calls when we're talking would be interesting to record because we bounce ideas, bounce, 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 until we both find something we like, and it's... We go through like 800 things before we get there. So it's neat. But it's, again, he's my best friend and we work together, which makes it great. And we, both of us don't have any real big egos. So if something really sounds better, we go for it. Doesn't matter who came up with it. We never worry about that stuff. As a matter of fact, they flip the credits on us all the time on the books and we don't care. And we try to make sure that we tell them, you know, flip the names because so nobody any problems.
Okay. That's cool. Now, you talked about Image books and stuff like that. You're doing creator-owned stuff as well. What creator-owned stuff should we know about?
Now, November is Retrovirus. It's a hardcover. It's actually listed as $60.99 in previews, but it's actually $12.99. They screwed up there. but it's a 64-page hardcover. It's an adult book. It's sort of the same format as when I did Queen Crab, and it's actually a Kickstarter project that Justin put together with art by Norberto Fernandez, who worked on The Tattered Man with us. So that comes out in November. And then monthly, I work with Justin and Steve Niles and a slew of guys, Darwin Cook, Paul Mounts, Andrew Ritchie, Jerry Lando, Dave Johnson, Jay Russell, a whole bunch of guys. And we put out Creator Own Heroes, and that comes out every month. And the new one comes out next week. I think it's next week or the week after. I think it's the week after. Issue 5 starts two new stories, which is Black Sparrow by Steve Niles and Jay Russell, and that's a Western, like a horror Western. And then we have a thing called Kill Switch. It's about an assassin that has to deal with every other assassin out there. It's kind of a fun action type thing, like a James Bond, but a lot more mean. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing we've been doing every month. Actually, number one is for free on Comixology, if you want to download it for free. And the first four were Phil Noto. We had Phil Noto and Kevin Mellon, and we keep switching creators. But it's basically two short stories, usually 22 to 24 pages of comics, and then another 12 to 15 pages of articles and interviews. And it's pretty much like you're hanging out with us for a day. Books well, and you know we're adding Darwin Cook. It's going to issue 6. We have a monthly section that Darwin Cook does that he just does anything he wants. Pages of anything Darwin wants, and boy, let me tell you, it's fun stuff. So it's a book we're trying to build up, and it's $3.99 for over 48 pages of content. So we're trying to give more for the money, and it's basically for 3 or 4 different kinds of people. It's for people who want something new. It's an adult book, so it's not for little kids. Mm-hmm. Anybody breaking into comics, they're going to want to pick it up because we have tons of articles on how to do things in comics, the who and why. And then if you follow certain creators, of course, that's what the book's for. But it's an experiment for us. And in this house, it's my baby. You know, it's the thing I put the most time into. It's just done by a couple of guys. So we put it together. And we're on issue 5, comes out soon. We solicited up to issue 8. And we have the first year all planned out. And then the second year we're working on now with different creators and stuff. So it's an interesting experiment. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think these days creator-owned things are the way to go, because with Batman, you've got to always reset and you got to work with other folks and stuff like that. If you want to do something really different and be able to do different things, you need your own characters. And I think that's what you guys are doing. You're setting up something that's unique. And I like to see that. I like to read a story where I just don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, well, that is definitely on a nail. You don't know what's going to happen. The characters have been around for years. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When they tell you they're going to die, they're dying. You know, all right, how long before it comes back? Mm. Didn't think Captain America would come back, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's important to grow as a comic reader. Mm-hmm. To look for different things and more adult stuff. And, you know, we want to explore science fiction and horror and religion and politics. And we want to explore a lot of things that the mainstream comics won't go near.
Yeah.
We don't have to sell the numbers that the bigger companies do. Honestly, we have a party when we break even on the book. If we were doing it for money, we would just do the stuff for the companies, you know? Mm-hmm. But things like Ash and Painkiller Jane taught me that if you create something, it's yours. Mm-hmm. And if you own it, it's yours. And you can do whatever you want for it. And God knows I've done enough Painkiller Jane and the TV show, and it was a movie, and it's going to be a book again. And, you know, it's when you own it, you can be visited anytime you want. And there's always a small audience that will welcome it back. It's important for a lot of creators to establish characters for themselves. I just don't think a lot of them care to do it because they get really used to the steady flow of money coming into their homes. And they actually work for a living and less about creating. I think that happens maybe later with some people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear Painkiller Jane's coming back because I enjoyed that show and I enjoyed the comic. So I'm looking forward to that. How's it going to come back?
It's going to come back. I can't say much about it yet, but it'll be coming back in spring. Mm. It will be coming back in a place you'll never expect it to come back from as far as publishing. Mm-hmm. And the first arc is drawn by one of the top people in comics right now. That's all I can say.
Okay.
So I'm working on it now just to have it done way ahead of time, you know. Mm-hmm. But the way it's coming back is not what anybody's going to expect. And really happy because we're able to do a deal and we're able to put this together that it'll be monthly and it'll be just beautiful. I mean, the stuff is just beautiful on it. So I'm going to do the quick introduction in the first issue, who she is, what she is, where she is, and then dig right into the story. Mm-hmm. Rehashing the stuff a million times over.
Yeah. Now, as far as are there other projects that you want us to know about? I mean, obviously you've got irons in the fire and you got to work with them and you can only talk about them at a certain time. Anything else that we should know about?
Well, we worked on the Injustice game mm-hmm. from Warner Brothers, the DC game, mm-hmm. featuring all the DC superheroes. That comes out next year. We worked with Ed Boon and his crew of writers, and we this great, massive, wonderful game that's got a pretty cool story and a great premise, and we're really excited about that. And in another couple of weeks, we're going to do another Kickstarter for a book tentatively titled Sex and Violence. Justin and I pushing the envelope because this is when I say adult, I mean really adult. Mm. It's going to be exactly about what I'm saying, sex and violence. And yeah, not for kids on any level. And it's going to be another hardcover book. We don't know if there's an audience for it, but the artwork is stunning. Justin has half the book and I have the other half of the book. So there's two, maybe 28 to 30 page stories in there. With some extras, and we're going to see if there's an audience for it on Kickstarter. I don't know if there is. I don't know if there's people who want stuff that's risque. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they sit there and understand that it's not just going to be a great story, but it's going to be like our really, you know, our very, I want to say Tarantino mixed with 70s exploitation films, mixed with 9.5 weeks. You know, that kind of stuff. Mm. And a little bit of crime, a lot of violence, and a lot of sex. My story is just, I've never written anything like it. And Justin's is so much fun. It's going to be an interesting book, but like I said, Kickstarter, you never know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're only going to put what it costs to make the book, and we're not going to add extra money, which we never do. Not too expensive. And that's like why we were successful the first two times out with Queen Crab and Retrovirus. But they're definitely made for an older audience, made for guys like us and gals, people who want their stories a little more adult. I don't want to say Shades of Grey because I never read it, but I'll say it's Shades of Grey with a lot of red thrown in.
Well, if it's called Sex and Violence and you get to do one of them, are you doing sex or violence? Oh, they each have both?
Yeah, it's not like I'm doing sex and he's doing violence. We went with the theme, you know, Justin and I spoke and we were talking about stories and he says, I got a story. And I said, well, I have one about a female police officer. And it's got a little Hitchcock kind of slant to it, mm-hmm. but it's also very much in her head. And I love writing female characters and I don't know why, but I tend to write them a lot. Mm-hmm. And then his story is more of a crime thing around the world of sex. And they're just two kind of cool stories. They're graphically beautiful. I don't want to announce who's doing them yet, but the both of them look stunning. I mean, when we put the Kickstarter up, we'll put a ton of art. Mine is 3/4 done, maybe a little more than 3/4 done, my story, and his is half done. I mean, we're just paying it out of pocket until we do the Kickstarter thing, you know, because obviously these are artists that need to get paid. I grew up reading heavy metal, and it seems like comics, the one thing you can't go near is like sex. No problem severing people's heads and zombies eating people's brains and eyeballs flying out. But if you have a nipple in a book, people freak out. And my thing is like, you know what, if you're going to flip out over a nipple, wait till you see this thing.
It seems like Kickstarter is the way to go these days. If you want to check and see if something's going to fly, you put up a Kickstarter project, see if it's working. Because you guys are doing a lot of that these days.
Yeah, well, we're trying to do like 2 a year. You know, the thing people don't understand with Kickstarter is when you do the fulfillment, it kills you. Mm. I mean, Queen Crab, I had to send out over 200 and something packages. Mm-hmm. I had to, you know, I put a little personalization, a little paper in it. Some of the books, I threw in extra stuff. We did prints, you know. So it's great to start a Kickstarter. But in a lot of them now, I'm reading that they don't even have the books done. Mm. They have like 2 or 3 pages done, and they're trying to get the money to do the rest of the book. And to me, that kind of sucks because, you know, that means you're not going to see the book for a year. Mm. And I feel like if you do Kickstarter, it should be like 6 months. I mean, even with Retrovirus, we had to wait till November to solicit it through Image. But people at least will get it within the half the year mark. But a lot of the guys now are just fishing for stuff, and that I'm not a big fan of. I think you should have your product done, and if you believe in it, I mean, I pay out of my pocket for everything, for Greater Onions. If I hire somebody, I have to pay them. I don't do, hey, if we make money, I'll give you money. I don't believe in that, because most of the artists I know have families. Mm-hmm. But I kind of do the leveling thing. I work for Marvel and DC and other companies, and I'll save a percentage of that money and put it towards my own stuff. I just think in the big picture of things, I have, what would the word be, a nice grouping of characters that I created.
That's great. We're looking forward to all these good things. Of course, I always get a good story. When I see your name and Justin's name on things, I pick it up right away because I know I'll enjoy what I'm going to read. So great stuff. Good luck with good things to come. And you know, we'll keep listening for these projects you're working on, all the stuff you can't talk about right now. But we'll get into that and we'll be able to buy all these good things in the upcoming months. So, you know, a lot of good luck and hope that things continue to work out and we get to see more fun stories from you.
Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it, man.
This is the Emperor. You're listening to the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast. Eat it.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast. Join us, your hosts, Miles P. McLaughlin and Scott Herzog, as we serve up a delightful menu of science fiction interviews and news in the television, movie, DVD, and book world. Test your geek cred with trivia. Top off your meal with the Sci-Fi 5 and 5. Come visit the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast at scifidinerpodcast.com or subscribe to us in iTunes. We're serving up sci-fi from here to the end of the universe.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Yeah, let's have a look at this week's comics. The book of the week for me was Talon Number Zero, the highlight of the month of zeros for me. What a great story. It's described this way. A new series featuring the Court of Owls unstoppable killing machine. Meet Calvin Rose, the only Talon ever to escape the grasp of the Court of Owls. This former assassin just wants to live a normal life, but that's going to be impossible since he's being hunted by his former masters. It does this old Batman fan's heart good to see the Dark Knight flying so high. This week, James T. Tynion IV and Gillum March, with Scott Snyder's help, of course, had a new character to the Bat family, and he's quite the amazing person. If anyone tells you that no one can come up with any new villains or baddie organizations, don't believe it. The Court of Owls is a prime example that creativity can continue to make comics that are very much worth buying and reading. I'm fascinated by this Calvin Rose, who has been abused, then abandoned as a child. Like Bruce Wayne, he's had a difficult childhood, but unlike Mr. Wayne, his father is the source of the problem. Rose eventually ends up with Haley Circus, who we now know trains the town. Assassins for the Court of Owls. There Rose is trained, but eventually develops problems with the morality of what he's been assigned to do. He goes on the run again, but this time he's going to have to keep away from the remnants of the Court of Owls, hopefully making a positive difference with those he encounters. Is he a reluctant hero or escaping baddie? Only time will tell. Tynion and co-plotter Snyder's pacing is enticing, keeping the reader moving through the comic briskly. Also, March's art is clear and dynamic, so he does his part to keep us all engaged as we keep reading. I was saying to myself again and again, now it's going to happen. There are lots of surprises to be had, so I'm sure you're going to want to read Talon Number Zero. Great, great book. I do want to focus on another book that's really good called Hero Worship, number 3 from Avatar. This is a little gem that I don't think people really know about. It's about sort of a teen sidekick hero who mysteriously gains the powers of his idol Zenith, who is very much a Superman-like character. In the first book, he suddenly gets the powers, and we don't understand how he got them, but what he's doing now is he's actually become Zenith's sidekick, Apex, and he's introduced to the world in this issue, and he's learning how to be a hero, although he gets really frustrated with the fact that he's only doing PR stints. He gets involved in his first mission, and it doesn't go well. It ends with a very big surprise in the last two pages of the comic. This book is done by Zach Penn and Scott Murphy, as well as Michael DuPascal. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But what a great book it is. If you haven't seen Hero Worship from Avatar, be sure to pick that book up. Now back for this week's New 52 Reviews. For the final time, I'm going to do my best to rate the new Zero issues as I can. Batman The Dark Knight number 12 has Batman hunting down Joe Chill, the murderer of his parents. Aquaman shows the Sea King encountering Atlantis for the first time. I also really enjoyed The Flash, in which the Scarlet Speedster's origin is refined. Teen Titans continues to follow Tim Drake's becoming Red Robin. The next I enjoyed Superman as he returned to Krypton. The Savage Hawkman has a great cover and then reveals Hawkman's connection to Thanagar and why he came to Earth. Justice League Dark focuses on John Constantine, while The Fury of Firestorm is Jason Rush and Ronnie Raymond trying to return to civilian life after losing the power of the Firestorm protocols. All-Star Western asks how Jonah Hex got his scar, while Voodoo No. 12 features the truth about Pre. iVampire has another cool cover, then displays how Andrew Bennett became a vampire. Fun reads all. Other books worth picking up this week included Absolute Green Lantern Sinestro Corps War, Before Watchmen Ozymandias No. 3, National Comics Rose and Thorn No. 1, and Phantom Lady No. 2, another one of Mr. Palmiotti's books from DC Comics. Steed and Mrs. Peel Ongoing No. 1 came out from Boom Studios, while Happy No. 1, Invincible 95, and Super Dinosaur No. 14 came out from Image. From IDW, we got Star Trek The Next Generation, Doctor Who, Assimilation Squared No. 5, then Oni Press gave us Sixth Gun No. 25. Marvel released Hit Girl No. number 3 and Tokyo number 3, while Bionic Man number 13, The Shadow Annual number 1, and The Spider came out from Dynamite. And those are the books that came out this week.
It's time again for news and previews, and with me as always is Gianluca Glaser. How are you doing today, Gianluca?
I'm doing good, Wayne.
Good, good. Why don't we go ahead and start off with what news you have for us this week?
Sure, absolutely. Greg Rucka has spoken out against the Big Two. He's the latest well-known creator to express discontent with the current direction of the comic book industry and the policy of Marvel and DC that dominate it. In an interview with Mark Millar, Clint Magazine, Rucka unleashed a salvo, saying, quote, "I've reached the end of my work for hire rope. I'm enjoying The Punisher, but that's not mine. It's Marvel's, and I knew that going in. I spent a lot of my comics career in the services of other masters, and I've had enough of that for now. I'm sick to death of the way the Big Two treat people." Interesting stuff there.
Yeah, he's doing he's creator-owned stuff right now, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's got Stumptown going on with Oni. And he walked away like over a year ago from Batwoman. When he was writing that for, Detective Comics. He was writing for Detective Comics for a while.
Yeah, he was one of the folks involved with the Gotham Central series, which I always loved.
Yeah, he's a talented guy, and he's not the only person that's kind of been having issues. Some of them, like Rob Liefeld, are a little bit, even more vocal than he is. It's very interesting. In some film and TV news. FX Channel is developing a new TV series based on Guillermo del Toro's The Strain. The Strain was actually before it's a series now by Dark Horse, but before that, it was actually a trilogy of novels in 2009, him and Chuck Hogan. And then the first book was The Strain, and then they had the Fall in 2010. And the trilogy ended with The Night Eternal in 2011. So right now, the Dark Horse is adapting that series with writer David Lapham and artist Mike Huddleston. So currently they're at issue number 8. So it'll be interesting to see, if sales jump, if this series, comes out before the comic book series ends. Good stuff there. Other movie TV news, NBC has decided to create a series based on John Rosen's Vertigo book, Midnight Mass. It's being in development by Snow White and the Huntsman's co-writer Evan Daughtry. The series focuses on a sexy globe-trotting husband and wife team of paranormal investigators based in Midnight, Massachusetts. That sounds interesting.
Well, I hope it does better. There was an NBC show that was a married couple that were secret agents that J.J. Abrams was involved with.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Is that the one that had Michael Chiklis in it?
I'm not sure. I only watched it once, and I guess other people joined me because they didn't have anything to do with it after that. It only lasted like 3 weeks, and then it was gone.
I think the series I'm thinking about lasted a little longer, but it didn't last past one season. So I think it was like No Ordinary Family, something like that.
Oh yeah, that was a team of superheroes. That was kind of the Incredibles.
Yeah,
this was a pair of black. They were black, and they were secret agents.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, and it was on like Monday or Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, and boy, it didn't last long.
No, guess not. Anyway, Sin City 2 starts filming soon. According to Rosario Dawson, who is reprising her role in the film, she stated that to MTV that, "I'm not sure that I'm supposed to say, but I'm going to say November. I'm going to be honest and put it out there. It's very soon. I'm excited." I'm excited to hear that. I love the first film.
Mm-hmm. It was based on the comics, which I had read. It was interesting because when you read the comics, mm-hmm. they are very gruesome, but you get them spread out over several issues. Yeah. When you see the whole thing in one whole movie, it really made me kind of nauseous in the sense of all the violence and stuff, you know, which is unusual for me.
It was a very good, you know, accurate adaptation, too, of the graphic mm-hmm. novel. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The British are ticked off. Wayne.
Oh, again?
Yes. They are ticked off over the Avengers DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh?
Yes. You see, they got it actually earlier than we do. 8 days earlier. Hmm. But they're upset because there's no commentary track from Whedon. And apparently there's a censorship of a key scene in the movie.
Oh?
Yes. So far, the Amazon UK site has received 101 one-star reviews out of 243 comments on the film.
Mm.
Yes.
Do they say which sequence they took out?
No, they don't. I guess they're trying not to spoil it for people who haven't seen the movie yet, like me. So, interesting.
Wow.
Right there. Yes, and that ends the movie TV series news. And straight up comic news. Marvel solicitation Decembers are out in the final issue of the long-running series for Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Captain America are being announced. Amazing Spider-Man ends with issue number 700.
Wow.
Yes. It ships in December on the same month that issue 699 does. They do those two issues a month deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, writer Dan Slott has joked previously that he will have to go into hiding after the events of Amazing Spider-Man number 700 are revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's solicitation for the issue before that, 699, would appear to indicate that Spidey's longtime foe, Dr. Ock,
mm-hmm.
may be about to breathe his last, and that, that Doc Ock has knowledge of Peter Parker's secret identity.
Mm.
The cover image for 699 shows Spider-Man caught in the grasp of Dr. Octopus. Mm. And the wraparound cover for issue number 700 appears to be some sort of summation of Spidey's struggle both against a plethora of foes and to find love and approval from a succession of female characters. Interesting stuff there. That same month, Wolverine ends with number 317. And note, guys, when I say that, you know, these series are ending, they're not really ending. You know, they're rebooting.
Yeah.
They're doing what DC does. They're, you know, going to start with issue number ones, the Marvel Now.
Well, remember, Marvel has a history of when they reboot something, they go back to the original numbering when it suits them.
Right.
Thor did that, and several other ones have gone back. So I wouldn't count this to be over.
Right. But, you know, even if they go the DC route, I mean, these series are just starting again with new creators. And again, in December, Captain America ends with issues number 640.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in terms of Captain America, Marvel has already announced that Rick Remender and John Romita Jr. are doing the new Captain America for Marvel Now.
So, I forget that.
Yeah. And speaking of Rick Remender, he's also doing something for Dynamite now.
Oh?
No, he's not just Marvel exclusive. We don't know what yet, but he's going to be on Dynamite's panel at New York Comic Con.
Oh.
So.
Different.
Definitely different. Maybe something creator-owned, you know? There's that going on. Other Marvel news. Marvel is launching a comic book adaptation of the TV series Castle. Called Castle, A Calm Before a Storm. It's a 5-issue miniseries. Comes out December 5th, the first issue. Mm-hmm. And the story will be by Peter David, who wrote Dark Tower and X-Factor. With interior art by Robert Aikens, who is the artist for Amazing Spider-Man.
Now, Marvel did a hardcover of Castle about a year ago.
Interesting.
So I'm not surprised they're doing it again. Now, Peter David did not write that. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I did buy the hardcover, and it was interesting. It's because he's an author-turned-investigator working with the police. very much like Jessica Fletcher. People always call it Murder, He Wrote. So it's I'm fascinated they're going to do another miniseries of it. I guess they must have felt it sold well enough.
Yeah, and the series must be, you know, continuing to do well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if they have the rights, why not use them?
Yep.
Well, DC Entertainment, you know, is also adapting their upcoming CW series, Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
The comic book series is going to be written by Mark Guggenheim. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Sorry. Yeah, he's going to write it. Andrew Crisbert, you know, who are executive producers of the series. Mm-hmm. The art's going to be by Mike Grell. Jorge Jimenez. Sorry. Sergio Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be available digital first, too, beginning on the show's premiere day.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
Yes. And in Image news, there's a whole new story of the Walking Dead villain, the Governor, that Robert Kirkman and Charles Adlard are doing. But it's going to be for the comic book Legal Defense Liberty annual book. It's going to come out on Halloween, October 31st. This is part of an anthology. So the 48-page anthology will also include stories by Howard Chaykin, Kieran Gillen, Jim McCain, Terry Moore, Chris Robertson, James Robinson, and others. The art's going to include such people as Mike Alfred, Janet Lee, and Ben Temple Smith. So,
mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Any news on your end, Wayne?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that fascinate me. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we're recording this a little early, but Stan Lee has pulled out of all future appearances due to what's called a very serious circumstance. He was just at the Baltimore Comic Con, and he was also at a Los Angeles convention recently.
Oh.
That was his last appearance.
Wow.
Kamikaze. It was called COMIKAZE.
Yeah.
He was out there, and of course, he's been autographing things left and right, and now I guess it's a good thing we've got that, because he's canceled everything.
Wow.
in the future.
That's crazy, because, yeah, for his age, he was very, very active. I mean, he would be doing, like, four different panels at San Diego and like, you know, several signings at several different people's stuff, you know, because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had his hands involved with, you know, not just Marvel, but a lot of other publishing companies.
Yeah, he was involved with Archie doing Mighty 7, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so he's been a busy guy. And like I said, I saw the line for him, which was forever, at Baltimore Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's basically canceled all future appearances, so he may be wearing out a little.
Yeah.
Which I don't, you know, 90 years old, that's a, he was maintaining a pretty busy schedule.
Very, very much so. I mean, he's still a very sharp guy. But yeah, you know, I would imagine even like a younger person would be worn out by doing all the appearances that he does.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Avengers being out. By the time this airs, the Avengers DVD will be available in America. And also out this week, just for fair play, I guess, is the Dark Knight Returns Part 1,
mm-hmm.
which is done Tim and company. And so those are going to be great, two great things to get for folks to get, one for people from Marvel, one for people for DC.
Yeah.
So those will be big things. I'll be curious to see how they sell. I've seen really great reviews of Batman The Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
People have said it's as good as a real movie, you know, and I have to give Frank Miller credit. His original book was amazing, and they are very faithful to it. I saw it and reviewed it last week's podcast, so it's really good. I really enjoyed it. It reminded me very much of how I felt when I read the original series of it. It was just wonderful. Very well done. There's a change coming as far as Tim Drake goes. You know, as the New 52 continues to kind of go along and fix things, they have changed his origin quite a bit, in the sense that he's no longer an orphan as he was when he originally runs into Batman way back when. Now he's actually got a family, a very supportive family when he first appears. So it's very interesting. He's actually quite the athlete. And also, it's very interesting change to it. I understand they want to clean up the Robins and kind of get him into a different place. So they're changing that. It'll be in Teen Titans number 0, which will be out, if not already. So that'll be a good one. As far as other stuff goes, there's not a lot going on, honestly. There seems to be quite a bit it seems to be focused more on the TV and the movies than anything.
Yeah, lately, yeah.
So I think that's all the news that there is. So why don't we go ahead and look into the preview section. What are you looking forward to as of what's coming out on October 3rd?
Yeah, absolutely. Dark Horse has Creepy Comics issue number 10. So that comes out. For DC, they have Animal Man number 13. It didn't seem that long ago that Animal Man number 0 came out, but they're on schedule, so that's going to be out. Batman the Dark Knight hardcover goes on sale. That's $25. And I'm surprised they're giving it the hardcover treatment, because of all the Batman DC books, it seemed like Batman the Dark Knight was like kind of the least well-known or popular.
Well, it's got David Finch as doing the art and the writing at that point, so
yeah.
They probably figure his name's going to sell pretty well.
Yeah. Before Watchmen, Rorschach number 2 goes on sale. Let's see, Detective Comics number 13. Dial H for Heroes number 5 goes on sale. GI Combat issue number 5 goes on sale. Now this title got canceled.
Yeah.
Announced.
Yeah, I think the last one's going to be number 7.
So yeah, they had, this was Men of War, Men of War was a war series.
Yeah.
Part of the New 52. It got canceled, so they decided to kind of retool it and create a GI Combat, and so I guess war books don't sell.
Yeah. Well, these days it's kind of hard to do that. What's tough is they had big names involved too. J.T. Kroll and Palmiotti and Gray are both, both teams are, are pretty big names, and I'm really surprised it didn't do better.
No, guess not. iVampire gets put into a trade, Volume 1, it's a trade paperback. Mm-hmm. Took them long enough. I mean, we're already on issue, 13, the original New 52 series. Mm-hmm. So, this collects, I would assume, the first 6 issues. Mm-hmm. So, good luck waiting for Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Swamp Thing number 13 goes on sale this week, and Sweet Tooth number 38 through Vertigo. And that ends with issue number 40.
It's not far away.
Not far away. IDW seems to be having a big sale on all things 30 Day of Night. They have a movie script, trade paperback on sale for $5. The Omnibus Volume 2 on sale for, maybe it's not on sale, but it's available for $30. The 30 Days of Night, Days Till Death, Sales Edition, trade paperback, $5. 30 Days a Night, trade paperbacks, volumes 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 are all on sale for $5 each.
Wow.
Yes. And also from IDW, they have The Crow issue number 4, the new series available. Mars Attack Classics trade paperback volume 2. I guess I missed out. I didn't know there was a volume 1 that came out.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. Whatever happened to number 1? I never heard it.
Yeah, but that's available for $20. I'll definitely look up the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a Picture of Dorian Gray illustrated prose hardcover for $18. So if you like your classic series and you want to see illustrated prose book of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of interesting things from Image Comics. Fatale number 8 goes on sale for this week. Walking Dead Compendium Volume 2 also goes on sale if you have $60 you can spend.
Wow.
Yes. And we mentioned Fatale. That's Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Marvel is coming out with the Criminal Deluxe Edition Hardcover Volume 2. That's available for $50.
Wow.
And so, Brubaker and Phillips are probably not going to be doing another Criminal series for a while. So
yeah.
That should tide people over.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have lots and lots of money to blow, lots of money, Mm-hmm. You could get the Man-Thing Omnibus for $125.
Wow.
All things Man-Thing.
Wow.
There's also a direct market variant edition for the same price.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you love your Marvel Zombies, you can get the Marvel Zombiebus hardcover for $125.
Man.
Yes. All things Marvel Zombies.
Mm-mm.
And on a related note, Muppets number 4.
Yeah. Speaking of Marvel Zombies, yeah.
It's only $3.
Yeah.
The house idea basically is just adapting Roger Langridge's previous work that didn't get published by Boom.
Yeah, yeah. Still sorry that's gone over to Marvel. That was. I fear for what's going to happen after this gets done.
Well, yeah, there's probably not much else. I mean, and they haven't done anything with Toy Story, really. They did, like, a miniseries, a short miniseries, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it for me.
Okay. All right, let me run down, because now we're into October. The zero month is over.
Yeah.
So we've got all 13s, as you were mentioning, Animal Man. There's Action, there's Batwing, Detective. Now, Earth 2 is doing very well, and that's number 5 of that is coming out. Yeah. That's not a 13, though.
No.
And then Green Arrow is a 13, and Green Lantern is a 13. So Legends of the Dark Knight, which is collecting the digital first Batman comics, is coming out. That'll be fun to have. I actually have bought those digitals and love them very much. Phantom Stranger by Dan DiDio, who was Judas Iscariot. That's kind of a strange one. Let's see what he does with that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of digital first, there's Smallville Season 11, number 6. There's Stormwatch 13 and World's Finest, number 5. From Marvel, we've got Avengers Academy, number 38, the next to the last one.
Yeah.
And the final Avengers versus X-Men comes out, number 12. And the same thing for Avengers AVX versus, which is number 6 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll take care of that stuff. Christos Gage and Neil Adams' first X-Men, number 3 of 5, comes out.
Oh, I missed that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, there's Road to Oz, number 2 of 6. I always love those books based on the Oz novels. Space Knights, number 1 of 3. People might not know what that is. That was based on Rom's Space Knight, which came out back in the day,
yeah,
which I actually read and liked. It was drawn by Sal Buscema. Long time ago, but that was the interesting stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. From IDW, Trio Trade Paperback Volume 1, John Byrne. That'll be out. Image has also got Thief of Thieves number 9.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that that the same team's working on that book any longer. At least I haven't seen it very much.
Oh, Robert Kirkman, you mean? And I can't remember who the author.
Nick Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Spencer, I don't think he's writing it anymore. At least he didn't, one book that I saw, but we'll have to check on that one. There's also Guarding the Globe number 2, written by Phil Hester, and in the Kirkmanverse, as I like to call it, so that'll be out. So there's all kinds of good stuff out that week, as usual. There's never a week when there seems to be nothing coming out. So that's what's out that week. Anything else we should talk about before we call it quits?
Not much. I know next week, you know, I'll have more about December solicits.
Right. Right. The previews and stuff will be out this by then.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that next week.
Yeah, absolutely, Wayne.
Okay, and on that note, we'll call it quits for this week. And look forward to talking with you again next week. Thanks as always, John Luca.
Same here, Wayne. Great talking with you.
As always, thanks. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Be back next week when we'll have more news, reviews, previews, and of course interviews. But until then, keep reading your comics.